Hello, everyone. I'm Ellie Pascal, and this is Cradle Your Body, Unleash Your Fire, the somatic journey for listening, rest, and revolution. We already know how to create the world we want to live in. Our bodies are guiding us with the language of sensation. In this space, you will have the opportunity to hear and honor that guidance and channel it into your work. Follow impulses and instincts in this space and meet yourself, the true you, in a way that you never have before. I'm so happy to have Susanna Darling Khan with us today. Hello, Susanna.
Hello, good to be with you.
Susanna is a movement medicine woman whose life is devoted to empowering, healing, and teaching, and to living with joy and purpose. The empowerment she offers is based in learning through the simultaneously precise and freedom-giving choreography of movement medicine. Her being, her work, her life are all about connections. Body, heart, and mind, individual with the community of life on earth. She is co-founder of Movement Medicine, has taught movement as medicine internationally since 1989, and is acclaimed for her gentle strength, passionate integrity, and humorous compassion. Her work benefits from cutting-edge neuroscience, the findings of trauma work, and her work with her wild-born Exmoor ponies. This is a space in which the body's guidance comes first. So we're going to begin dropping deeply in here. Susanna is going to guide us in a practice. And so that you're aware, know that as Susanna's practice draws to a close, I will take the reins gently of the space holding and invite all of us to drop even more deeply into the body. Yeah. So you know that that's going to happen. And before we move into that practice, Susanna, is there anything that you would like to say?
Thank you. Well, first of all, thank you, Ellie. I'm really happy and privileged to be here with you all. And I love the words you introduced us with, and that dyad between or polarity or inclusivity of both cradling the body and releasing the fire from within. That's exactly in accord with where I'm coming from and what we'll be doing in this session. So, I also simply want to share that right now it's April 2020, and this will be screened and shared with you. You'll be watching this in November, as far as we know. So we're time traveling. We're at a very big moment right now globally, and I'm sure we will be also in November, and it'll be different. So I imagine this practice will still be relevant then. And want to greet you on the other side of the summer, and I hope you can look back over the last few months and feel good about your journey and where we are collectively. That's my prayer. I'm sure you have played your part with all the integrity and generosity you can muster. And it's challenging right now. So the practice I'm about to share is very much what I need personally right now. On this day in April. Let's begin. So if you would just take a moment to look at the area where you're going to be moving in. It doesn't have to be big, but whether you've got a meter square or 2 or 3 meters square or more, make sure that there's nothing on the floor that you could trip over. Just so that you've got a clear space Just take a moment to do that. I'm doing that too. And make sure you're wearing appropriate clothes. Footwear, bare feet is really good, but nothing, not high heels, nothing you could fall over if you don't want to sprain your ankle, because we will be moving. And as you do this, pay attention to your own body. My body's been moving strongly for 30 years, so I may do things physically that may or may not be appropriate for you. So this is not about following me, it's about following yourself. So please do this on a level, moment to moment, that's appropriate for your body and your mobility and your level of fitness and ease within your body. And look after you, any injuries you have, any limitations you have. You can do this as gently or as strongly as is appropriate for you. Okay, so let's just, wherever you are and however you are, take a breath. And let it out. And as you let it out, and take another one, feel into whatever part of your body is touching the ground or the floor. And another one. And if you would just acknowledge that ground, that support from below, the earth holding us, the floor, the chair. We're not flying through space. We have an earth. And whether you're high up in an apartment somewhere or sitting on the ground, let the floor represent Mama Earth for you. Taking another breath. Feeling that connection between the gravity of your weight and the body of the earth. It's a love affair between the earth of your body and the body of the earth, sometimes called gravity. And breathing. And then if you would take your arms and embrace yourself. In Ellie's words, cradle yourself. Just receive yourself for a moment. As you are. Feeling into the sensation, the feelings, the textures in your body. This is our starting place, wherever you are right now, however you find yourself. Letting yourself be with that. Giving it breath, giving yourself breath. Smiling, if you will, towards your billions of zillions of cells inside. As you breathe for them, with them. And imagine your cells waving or smiling back. Yeah. We're still here. You're still here, living, breathing with your community of cells inside you. All right, and then gently opening our eyes, stretching, open our bodies, your body. Again, now do this in a way that's good for your body, listening. I'm going to stand up. letting the whole body come into motion. Now, Ellie, am I speaking loudly enough?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Whole body coming into motion, mobilizing your shoulders, your hips, your spine. Yeah, beautiful. And then let that, whatever the movement is, begin to pick up a bit more energy. Just let the body move. Find one movement that just comes out of your body now, one repetition. Be very small or big. And give that your breath. And like a steam train speeding up, let that speed up. And slow down again. And slow down. Great. Again, wrapping your arms around yourself and making contact with your torso. Keep the body moving gently. Beautiful. All right, and that was called, in our world, that's a crescendo and a decrescendo. So now we're going to take another crescendo and decrescendo, but this time with a quality of vibration or shaking. So just gently loosen everything. Loosen your shoulders. Loosen your hips. Loosen your hands, your neck. Now do this in a way that's good for your body. Could be a micro shake or a macro shake. You might want to let a sound out. So let's go. Let's get a little bigger. And another one. A little bit bigger. And your legs, maybe your feet. Great. And then let the movement widen out and calm down. Get bigger and cooler. So with that shaking, you've created a bit of space, a bit more space inside you. So now imagine you could call in from the universe a color or an energy that you need right now. And if you will, simply experiment with asking for that you need right now. And receiving that through your body. You might imagine the universe is saying to you, oh, at last, my darling, you've asked. Now I can give it to you. Calling that in with your hands. Beautiful. And receiving that into yourselves. And then letting that energy that you've just received become articulated in your dance. What I mean by that, for example, the energy I just called in was the energy of golden light and a feeling of really being supported by a lot of invisible allies and companions who are seeing what I'm doing and are with me and rejoicing in all that is happening through me right now. And I'm dancing with them and I'm saying thank you, and I'm feeling that love and connection and mutual appreciation. So whatever your equivalent is, let it be danced. Be courageous. Let it be given form in your dance. If you will, saying thank you for whatever you've just received, apparently big or apparently small. Thanking this interconnected universe, if you will. And then coming back to thank your own body. Your physical head and neck. Your shoulders. Your arms, you're saying hello. Your wrists, your hands. Your chest, your heart and lungs. Your belly. Your back, as much as you can feel with your own hands and feeling from inside. Your hips. Your legs. Thighs, knees, lower legs, ankles, feet. And back to the earth, back to the earth that holds you, that holds us. And again, receiving the interiority of your body, the earth of your body, resting on the body of the earth. Dropping your weight. And in a moment, I'm passing this to Ellie. The battle of leadership. There you go. Battle.
So perhaps you've got your eyes closed. Perhaps they're open. Either way, I invite you to Allow your attention to stay inside your body. And as Susanna was guiding us to, I invite you again to let your awareness drop to what is holding you, the furniture, ground, and essentially Mother Earth. So feel that gentle tug of gravity and let it hold you, let it pull and bring you into contact with the earth 10% more now. And notice now what is alive in your precious body. The body speaks with energy, stillness, color. Simply breathe with whatever is alive for you. Let it be. How much can you let yourself be held and let yourself be just noticing? You can only get this right. You can only get this right. And in a moment, we will move into the interview section of this session. And as we transition into this place where there's a bit more logic, I invite you to play with eyes open and eyes closed. You notice what happens in your body when more words come in. To notice what words resonate with you and what that feels like for you. I will permit myself to move in and out of eyes closed and eyes open, even in this next section. Staying in touch with my body is my number one priority. And I invite you to let it be yours, if only for the next 20 minutes. Well, I would love it if it was for longer than 20 minutes. Thank you for that practice.
Thank you.
That's the first time I've done conscious movement in a session like this. It was interesting to notice how what it felt like to know that I was being watched by this technology, which to me brings me to the first question, that I have for you. We talked about how this concept of interoception, the having awareness of the inside of us, is important to you and your method and your life. And I would love to hear a bit about why that is.
Sure. So interoception, it's a word that was coined about 100 years ago by a neuroscientist. And it's been used much more in the last 10 years or so by neuroscientists. And we've adopted it because we found it very, very useful. So it means the physical perception of your physical interior from your skin inwards. And the practice you were leading us in, Ellie, right at the end, you talked about perceiving through sensation, through colour, imagery, warmth, cool, all those kind of things, including the imagination or how we visualise something, but also the sensations of, for example, prickliness or bubbliness or vibration or coolness or warmth or tension or openness. All these kind of textural physical sensations are what anchor us in our bodies. And the stronger, what the neuroscientists have found that we find so interesting and then informative in our own practice with our students, is that apparently the stronger our interoception for our own bodies, the stronger our emotional intelligence about what's going on for us, but also the stronger our empathy or empathic resonance with others is. And that makes sense, particularly when you think of the counterpart. So they've studied, some neuroscientists have studied what is the interoceptive level of people that have psychopathic or sociopathic behavior. And what they've found is that people who can harm others without a second thought, psychopaths and sociopaths, have pretty well zero interoception. Now, why is that? I don't think, and I think the studies show, it's not because some people are born like that. It's actually a response to trauma. It's a numbing. It's a self-numbing, and I feel my own upset about this, that this is in our world to a very great extent. People that harm others have been harmed themselves. And that self-numbing, in order to cope with having been harmed, particularly as a child, means that that cycle of harm goes on through the next generations. So growing our interoception is not necessarily easy, because it means also coming into contact with the feelings that are in our body that may have been anesthetized. Because at the time that we were called by our being to feel them, there wasn't enough resource or support in the situation. I'm aware we're talking about very big things here, and all of us have trauma in our lives. And it may be little and it may be big. And just be aware of what's happening as you're listening. And let's just again give ourselves some loving kindness. So interoception is both the cure. Bessel van der Kolk, who's written an extraordinary book called The Body Keeps the Score, which if you don't know it, it's the kind of classic textbook currently about working with trauma. And he's an American psychiatrist who's done a lot of work with Vietnam veterans and then more recently a lot more groups of traumatized people. And he's been investigating all this kind of thing. And he says there are two huge keys for recovering from trauma. And they are interoception and self-compassion. Mm. And I think I would add the breath and movement and community. And I think he would be in alignment with those two.
Mm.
So this is why it's so important to go slowly with your interoceptive practice and to let things move as they come up. So you're not just building more and more awareness, but going to explode out of yourself again. So that things have a chance to move and you can grow your own interoception or regrow it through sustained bite-sized practice. If you keep letting yourself know that it's important to feel the landscape inside. And the place to start for many people is the hands. For most of us, the hands are a safer place than the torso. But what I noticed, Ellie, when you were guiding us there into our interoception, though you didn't name it, but that's what you were doing, was I noticed a feeling of a warm glow around the left-hand side of my heart that felt like it was orange. And I was aware I'd been calling in golden light and the support of spirit, imaginal spirit worlds, spirit guides. And it was lovely to feel that on the inside, this kind of cupping around the left-hand side of my heart and lungs, golden warmth, like golden hands holding inside. So that was my interoception just now, as well as feeling of kind of sparkling light from my fingers supporting me. So that's interoception, and it's we've seen the biggest changes in our long-term apprentices through interoception practice. It's like people actually arrive in themselves. And it's really simple, but it doesn't mean it's easy and it doesn't mean it's not profound, because it's simple. And it does take practice, because our culture does not pay much attention to it. We're not encouraged to practice interoception when we're doing our maths.
Right.
But actually it helps everything, including maths and including listening and including knowing what your family needs, including what you need.
Yeah. So much of you, of what I heard you say then went right here and gave me the real ding, ding, like this is such vital information. And when I heard you say about these are big topics, and the piece of taking it a little bit at a time, and how beautifully you acknowledged that as this is spoken about now, for those watching, it may bring things up. And with that in mind, I invite all of us to take three breaths now together and use that interoception and notice what's alive in your body. And at this moment and any other point, if what is discussed or what you're experiencing feels too much, you can always send your awareness back to those places where you're supported in your body, or anywhere that feels neutral to you. As Susanna said, often the hands are a safe place. So again, just noticing that holding. And stay with that as long as you need. Again, as I go back into logic now, notice how that is for you. And if you want to pause the video and be like, something is here in my body, please prioritize building that awareness if it feels good to you to do so, if it feels right to you to do so. in this world at this time when we've been so out of our bodies for so many generations, there's nothing more world-changing or revolutionary or good for you and your health and your joy and the family and your family than to spend time being aware of what you're feeling. And I loved what you said, Susanna, about the interoception, the inner awareness, and what that does for us, the positives that does for us, and how you spoke about the other end of the spectrum, the numbness, and what that can do. And the message that I receive over and over is that at this point, there's a lot of us on the planet who are here to do the unthinkable in this world, particularly in England, which is to feel and to give space to that and maybe even talk about it. And what I know is that it was so necessary and so right, particularly at the beginning of the century through the First and Second World Wars, when there was so much obvious trauma, that it just had to be put somewhere so that people could carry on, and at some point so that we could stop harming the earth and each other and actually get back aligned with truth and be like, oh, this is my emotion, maybe I won't blame you for it anymore. We had to start feeling again, and it's bold, courageous, vital, beautiful work. So thank you for doing it, and thank you for doing it and for creating the beautiful body of work that you have that is bringing more opportunities for that for people in this world. Yeah.
Thank you. Well said. I absolutely agree with all of that. And I think it's a very important perspective that this is a transgenerational thing. And we're in recovery, if you like. And it's not that it was anyone did anything wrong. Mm. Everyone did what they needed to survive and to support their families to survive. And here we are, in a sense, we're in recovery as we try to learn what we need to learn to stop harming ourselves, each other, and the earth. Absolutely.
Right. So you talk about being social beings and why, and you know, that has such meaning for you. And this also, this part of being in the body, helping us to have that systemic awareness that we're part of a whole. Is there anything around that wants to come out at this moment? Mm.
That's a good question, because it's very big, isn't it? Give me a moment. I'm just feeling into what's the most relevant thing right now. I think the thing that I really want to say right now is that through inhabiting the landscape inside and feeling those interoceptive qualities and being aware of the community of life inside me, all those cells and organs and microorganisms, and of my feelings in my body, my sense is that my experience is that my love and my connectedness with the outer world has grown immeasurably through that. And it's not just feeling of love, but it's more like the capacity to accurately perceive what is needed from me out there, what's going on that I could help with, or I could add something, or I could name something. Mm. So there's the capacity for co-creation and the capacity for systemic intelligence to arise from the system, not just top down, but through systemic co-arising intelligence. That grows the more connections any one node or place in the system has. But if that's not grounded in the body and through the body, the heart, then it's missing all the information that can come from the empathic heart that's grounded in the body. So this is why I think systemic intelligence work really benefits from including the body, because the body is the gateway to feeling the heart, and the heart is the gateway to love. So if we want to combine or bring together systemic intelligence that's grounded in love, we need our bodies. We need our awareness of our bodies. And we also, through movement practice, that's the awareness side. That's the cradling side, if you like, the tuning into and including what's going on in me in response to the whole and that resonance. Then there's the other side of movement practice, which is about daring to express what's in me, recognizing that whatever's there has meaning, has validity. It's my feeling. It's not that it's about you, it's about me, but I can express it. And through that practice of unblocking our creative channel of expression through the body, we start to have confidence in that creative impulse that comes through us in many ways, not just on the dance floor, but the impulse to write to somebody, the impulse to make something, the impulse to do something. We start to trust ourselves and have courage to go sometimes against the norm or in another way than the norm. Yeah. And that's where leadership is born. And I think leadership is something that actually all of us can be developing right now, and the capacity for co-leadership and cooperative, mutual supportive leadership. That's my dream of living in a world where, in a company, the cleaner would be listened to because maybe she or he has or they have the idea that will revolutionize that company, where there's an openness to the intelligence arriving from wherever it comes in the system.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I loved what you said, and I love particularly what you said about the piece of us, I'm going to be paraphrasing, so forgive me, but the piece of us all being connected and taking that action that, I can't find the words that you said, but as I was hearing you say it, I got the image of how the trees are all connected under the earth. And again, this is a piece which has come to me over and over, this knowing that as a person connects into the felt sense, particularly in this world where often it isn't done, it's connecting to this superpower, the way that in this world it's become so linear, which is not all bad, but there are so many boxes and so many league tables and so many plans, and we find ourselves baffled, like, how is there all of this food in this part of the world and not enough food in that part of the world, and how is it that we're so advanced and yet our economy is not flowing, and these kinds of things. And then looking to animals and birds flying in perfect V's together with no conversation about it, and the animals who know that the tsunami is coming, and our instruments didn't pick it up, but all the animals get away from the shore. Mm-hmm. And that instinct, like, that is here. That is... there is something in me that knows that when I am following this silver flow very simply, which is about me freaking stopping doing what it is I think I should do and doing what feels right. And when I do that and the way the energy moves through a human when in flow with that, that is being in concert with the whole of everything. I don't even think it's just on this planet. It's the whole universe, you know? It's the energy flowing around the moon and Mars and coming around and flowing around Earth, and it goes into the core and helps the trees grow, and we've got our feet on the Earth. And the more our feet are feeling as they're on the Earth, the more we receive these beautiful knowings, and then the more we can as you talked about so gorgeously, give ourselves that permission to allow it out, whether it's, oh, I had this amazing idea, or, oh, I just had to express this sadness, and actually, I didn't even know what the sadness was about, but I gave myself permission to feel it, and now my migraine's gone. Whatever it is, allowing those impulses is, in this world, so needed and magic.
Absolutely. That's beautiful. Thank you. Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So I could talk about this with you for hours.
We can.
I'm aware of time, so I'm going to have a scan if there's anything like burning that I want to ask you before we move towards closing. So I'm just going to have a tune in and invite everybody at home to do the same. We've spoken a lot of words, and maybe there's stuff moving in your body now. Just noticing. Just giving yourself that permission to come back in. Or maybe there's something burning to come out of you at this moment, in which case you want to dance it or express it or write it or draw it, sound it. And again, I'm going to move back into logic, but if you want to stay with whatever's arising in you, please do. Susanna, if your body could create a world right now that she would feel the most in flow and safe and healthy and joyous in, what would it be like?
Wow, that's a big question. I mean, that's a very potent question. Well, what I saw immediately was forest and clean rivers and forest and the grasslands and the animals and us humans living amongst that in as part of nature.
Mm.
And that's what I grew up with when I was a little girl. I wanted to be a hunter-gatherer.
Mm.
I was a gatherer-hunter. I wanted to be a cave woman again, and right now I'm glad that there's hot water particularly, and you know, warm house to live in, but the world where we've really found how to live in peace with not just peace, but where we humans are actually functioning as a benevolent force that supports all of life to flourish. Including us, ourselves, and the other members of the human family, and all creatures. And I'm aware of the stretch to even imagine that we could do that. But it's one of the things that this virus is actually doing for me, is I'm recognizing the incredible ingenuity we have when we decide that something is a must. And so I really am holding a torch for the possibility that we will do that. Not that we can is a given. I'm resting in that we can, but that we will, and that we will choose. Enough of us will choose to make it an absolute must, a necessity that we create. We use our extraordinary ingenuity to discover how to live in mutual harmony with the biodiversity that we're part of and that we depend upon. And I want the children, and I want my grandchildren, and I want your grandchildren to experience the beauty of this world, and the trees and the elephants and the rivers and the sea and the multitude of creatures. That is so exquisite.
Mm.
And right now we're not doing so well with that, but life is still here and we're still here and we still have this gateway.
Mm.
That's my prayer, my dream.
Mm.
Our work, Movement Medicine, is dedicated to that.
Mm.
It's dedicated to helping us find a way to heal our relationships with ourselves, each other,
mm.
and the planet, and mm. the spiritual world. And mm. yeah, we and all the other people that are working for that, including you, Ellie, so clearly and passionately, so beautifully, mm. we may or may not succeed in our lifetime. And we human beings may or may not come to that, but what matters to us is that we give everything in the attempt, and then we can hold our heads up and look life and the spirit of life in the eye and say, well, I gave my all and I received everything and I gave everything. That's a dignified life. I've had to let go, with my dad's help actually, following Gandhi's advice, I've had to let go of looking for a certainty about the outcome, and just decided this feels like the right thing to do, so let's do it, give it everything and not hold back anything, and step by step do what we can, and love and be loved. Thank you for that question.
Step by step, do what we can and love and be loved. The incredible ingenuity that we have when we decide that something is a must. That's what I just heard you say.
Yes, thank you. That's beautiful listening. Thank you so much.
It's so true. Like, what we are seeing now, it shows what is possible. I don't know the ins and outs in every other planet, in every other country. I don't know. In every other country, but I know here that the government has gone, right, stop all this nonsense about Brexit, stop all this wasted energy on that, stop all this discussion about whether we should be bringing cuts to the NHS, bring in the students who were almost qualified, bring in everything, restaff the hospitals, you know, and everybody's outside clapping for their health workers, and we're a unit again, and everything is focused on this thing. And you're absolutely right. It just shows it's just choice. And what has happened is that we've come to our hearts because we've been faced by the death of our beings and our loved ones. And it has gone, nothing else matters. All of that BS, what were we doing? Just, and you know, and you're right. And this is the human capacity. This is just the first time. Like, there'll be a lot more now. And there's so much capacity for beauty and for change and for aligning with what you were talking about, and that beautiful vision of being more in concert with nature. And when you started talking about that and hearing you talk about the forests and the trees and the river, I could just feel my whole body go, you know, say to me, Ellie, you've been in front of a computer for a while today. It's time for some, you know, but that, like, feel it and what it does for us and the sanity and the health and the joy. So thank you for bringing that in.
Bless you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. So many questions that I just didn't get to, so that'll be for next time.
Yeah.
So before we move into talking a little bit about your offering and where people can go to have a look at your work, is there anything else that you would like to add?
I just to wish you well wherever you are, you who's watching this, in this moment, in November, presumably, or later, and yeah, take care and stay in movement. And I think what we've shared in this, between us, in this little time, is very, for me, it's very essential. It's like at the center of all this, all the work we do.
Mm.
It's almost been like a distillation of what's most important to me in my life.
Mm.
So I really want to thank Ellie. Thank you for your guidance and your reflecting and your questions and this opportunity to share this. And I really hope this is useful to you.
Mm.
And if you want to do more, we'll tell you in a moment. Ellie will tell me how to tell you.
Yeah, fab. Stay in movement. I love that you said that. Stay in movement. Take this tool of interoception. Screw what you think you should do. Come in, take a breath, feel, listen, honor yourself. And yes, so Susanna, you have a free gift. People can click on a link to find it. So I would love if you would tell us a bit about that and tell us a bit more again about, first with the free gift.
Okay. So I'm aware that we were just moving in the practice earlier without music. And mostly we use music because it's so supportive, but it's also great to practice without music. So you can do that anytime, anywhere, in the forest, in your kitchen. Just make sure you're not going to trip over anything and follow, listen to your body. But anyway, the free gift is a track I made recently called Awakening the Dancer. And it's with music and with guidance. And it starts very gently and it builds to a real groovy dance piece to bring your whole body into motion. And it's become a beloved piece in our community. So I wanted to share that with you.
Mm, thank you. Yeah, and I'm sure that you will love it. And then following that and following this session now, where can people go to see more about what you do?
Yeah, so you can go to darlingkhan.com. Darling as in my darling, Khan as in Genghis, darlingkhan.com, that has everything. The School of Movement Medicine, and 21gratitudes.com. 21gratitudes.com is our online study hub. And that's a membership site that we're going to be offering this stuff online by November. I have no idea where we'll be in terms of the next opening, but have a look. It's very, very, we're very excited.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels very beautiful, as Ellie's doing, to be able to offer this kind of stuff in a way that's accessible globally to anyone with an internet connection. So that's that. And there's more music at music-medicine.co.uk.
Wonderful. May your awesome work filter into the lives of those who have or have not yet experienced it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, there's one thing I'd like to share. There's just an image that came up as you were speaking.
Mm.
So, okay.
Mm.
You were talking about the animals that felt the tsunami.
Mm.
And I don't know if you heard, you who's listening, about, or you, Ellie, about the elephants that felt the tsunami, that started to run to higher ground, and as they ran, picked up humans along the way and took them with them, picked them up in their trunks and just took them to the higher ground. And that, for me, that's the heart of cooperative, caring love. It's about we. And that's what I pray for all of us, is that sense of we need to act so that for the good of everyone. Like those elephants. So I will do what I can to help you. I will take you in my trunk and race with you to the higher ground.
That's one of the most stunning images. And yeah, thank you for sharing it. Yeah. And thank you so much, Susanna, for all of your presence and sharing your practice and your experience and your wisdom. It's been a delight for me to be able to have this conversation and this dialogue with you in all of the ways.
Thank you. Ellie, rock on. The light is mutual.
So let's all take three breaths again together to close. So there's been a lot of words here. Take a breath, and you may want to let your eyes close or let them rest with a soft gaze. You may want to have your hand on your heart or not. And tune in again as you breathe. And as you tune into what is alive in your somatic, your felt sense landscape, breathe appreciation for yourself into the mix. You exactly as you are right now. Know that you get to go gently, a piece at a time. Following your body's flow, this will remake our world. And I invite you to stay in this place for as long as time allows for you. And for now, thank you again, Susanna.
Yeah. Thank you, Ellie.
And love
thank you to who's listening.
Yeah.
Be well. Mm.